Amanda, Amanda, Kuwela.
Welcome to Speeding the Word, coming to you from the Jars Center in Waxhaw, North Carolina, where Jars speak Bible translation for all people. Now our host, Arthur Lightbody.
It's my pleasure today to be visiting with Wycliffe Bible translators Bill and Lenore Martin. How are you doing today, Bill and Lenore?
We're doing fine.
It's great to be with you. I've enjoyed getting a little bit acquainted since you came to the Waxhaw area a few weeks back. And I understand you work in Papua New Guinea, and we want to share some of those stories. You've been Bible translators in Papua New Guinea for how long now?
Well, about 26 years. We first went to Papua New Guinea in 1980.
Can you tell us about Papua New Guinea and the languages there?
Well, Papua New Guinea is in the Pacific. It kind of rests right on top of Australia. So if our listeners think of where Australia is and then move a little bit north towards the equator, they'll find Papua New Guinea there. And Papua New Guinea, according to the latest count that I'm aware of, has around 860 or 70 languages in that one country.
Okay, and you're working, have worked on one of those, and we're going to talk about that, and your work is affecting many more, and we're going to hear some more about that. You worked in what language?
We worked in the Nyindro language. It's a small language of about 5,000 people in Manus province, Manus Island and Manus province.
What was your approach? Now, a lot of people have an idea of a Bible translator who goes and he or she moves to a remote village and takes it on their shoulders. And your work started a little different from the beginning. Can you tell how it went?
Well, the Nyindro language area is a remote part of the country, and we did have a lot of harrowing adventures getting to that location when we were out in the village. But from the very beginning, we endeavored to partner with national people that spoke the language, and so we trained national translators and national literacy workers from the very beginning to have a prominent part in that translation program. We found mostly as advisors, facilitators, and consultants for a team of people in the local area that did the translation work.
Now, if these people need the Bible in their own language, because they don't have the Bible in the national language, English, how did it come that some of them could be translators? Are there some that are more qualified or speak English better?
Yes, well, the national language of education in Papua New Guinea is English, and so those who have had opportunity to get a lot of education do know some English, and the translators that we worked with were English speakers as a second language. They, of course, knew their own language and then also learned English in school. So we worked with several national translators who knew English as well as their own language.
So they could understand scriptures and help translate it into Nyindro.
That's
what,
right.
What, about what percentage of the people could read, would you say, of the 5,000 speakers in that language?
Well, I would say probably less than half of the people could actually read the trade language. When we first went, of course, Nyindro itself was not a written language, and so there wasn't anything for them to read of their own language. The people then began to learn how to read their own language after we began to translate and make various books and literature and stories available in that language.
So scripture wasn't the only thing that they'd have to read then, so they
That's
learned
right.
to read. Bill, you told us a story about Charles helping you in the translation. Can you tell us what Charles said? Tell us about Joe.
Okay, Charles Kowak was the national translator that we worked with the last 10 years of the Nyindro program. And as he was completing the New Testament, one of the things that as a translator is required is for the translator to submit the translation to a translation consultant and have the consultant check that translation. And what the consultant needs to do that is a person from the village to come with the translator and be able to answer questions that the consultant has about that translation. The translator will read some of the translation, the consultant will ask some questions, and then the person who's not been involved in any way in the translation will respond to those questions. And by those responses, which may need to be translated back for the consultant can tell if the translation is really communicating. Well, Charles went to the village, and he thought about who would make a good person to come to Ukurumpa, where the consultant session was being held, in order to be that person that could answer some of those questions about the translation. And he first thought about some of the educated people that he knew in the village that already knew the Bible stories and so on, and was going to choose one of those three, but he wasn't just didn't have any peace about choosing the three people that he originally thought of might be able to answer well the questions that the consultant would ask. And as he thought and prayed about it, celebration time, he happened to come to the village where my wife and I were living. And as soon as he got off the boat, he met a fellow whose name is Joe Busikale. And Joe kind of surprised Charles because he said, "I'm ready and prepared to go to Ukurumpa for the consultant session." Well, this sort of surprised Charles because Joe was really just a grassroots sort of a basic person. Rich person. He'd never been to school. He didn't attend church. He didn't know any Bible stories. He didn't know really much anything other than living a subsistence lifestyle in the village. And so Charles said, "Okay, it's good. We'll pray about it." And later on, he and his wife, as they prayed about it, were trying to discern the Lord's will of who should go and attend the consultant sessions. Well, after Charles had prayed about it, he dreamed a dream, and in this dream, a man came to him and said, "Charles, do you only like educated people? So how is it that Jesus cared for the uneducated and poor people?" And, in the morning, after that experience, that dream, Charles was convinced, and he told his wife, Rebecca, says, "God has indeed chosen Joe to go with us up to Ukurumpa, grassroots Joe." So on his way to Ukurumpa, he was in for quite an adventure. He'd never ridden in an airplane before, much less a little single-engine airplane. He wasn't used to the cold weather, the cold climate up at Ukurumpa, but most of